Welcome to the GLE&D Team Podcast, your go-to space for inspiration, insight, and impact in the world of performance and development. We're here to spark meaningful conversations, share powerful stories, and explore the ideas shaping how we grow, learn, and thrive together. Whether you've tuned in from a hustling office or a quiet corner of the world, this podcast is designed to connect our global community through shared learning, curiosity, and collaboration. Each episode will dive into topics that matter, from navigating change with confidence, reframing limited beliefs, to unlocking creativity. You'll hear from leaders, team members, and special guests who bring fresh perspective and practical tools to help you elevate your impact. So grab your headphones, a coffee, settle in, and let's grow together. This is more than a podcast. It's a movement for learning, leading, and evolving in a world that never stands still. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, whenever you are joining us. This is your P&D podcast. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining me. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Kerry Riley, and I am the performance and development coach within the UK team. Martijn, would you like to introduce yourself?
For sure. Martijn, learning and development specialist for Region Europe, we call it nowadays, for at first. Glad to join again. Over
Excellent.
To Lizzie.
Thank you. Lizzie?
So Lizzie Verbeek, I'm based in Houston, Texas. Just like to always say that because people assume I'm in the UK. and I'm performance and development business partner here in North America.
Excellent. Thank you. And we are very excited to have Joe with us, who is a new member of the team. Joe, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. I'm Joe Thies, and I am the newest member to the UK P&D team. I joined on Monday and I'm one of the P&D coaches.
So we are throwing Joe right in at the deep end in her first week and having her record the podcast with us. Nice and easily guided into the team. Now, this is actually a subject that Joe is absolutely brilliant experience on. So we wanted to bring her expertise into the mix. So our topic for this month is productivity, which is a huge, huge topic, especially as we come towards the end of the year. Especially in the recruitment industry, can be really busy. So we want to give you as many tips and hints as we can to help you to be more productive, to protect your time, to track and reflect on your work patterns, because we all know how busy we get. We sometimes forget to just pause, take a moment. And one of the things that Martijn was going to be talking about a lot is lean. So we're going to throw lots of that in as well to help you. So we're going to start with our first question. And I'm going to come to you first, Martijn. Which is, how do you help teams find the sweet spot between high performance and well-being? And is it even possible to have both without burning out?
Well, let's start with that first. I do think it's absolutely possible. I think it's a good thing to check at the task and which one actually gives you energy and what costs you energy. Because for some positions, it's not balanced well enough. And when you have a lot of tasks that cost many of your team members energy, instead of it actually gives them energy, then you'll see that people are more likely to burn out. So I think it's a good thing to look at that first and talk about it with people within teams. That's the thing I would take a look at.
Excellent. Thank you. What about you, Jo?
I agree. Like Martijn, you absolutely can find the sweet spot, but you have to be intentional. So what I like to talk about is setting boundaries, for example. So you can't pour from an empty cup. We know that both in the workplace and life in general. So when we skip lunch, when we check our emails like way into the night, we might think we're being productive in the moment. But what that does, that just chips away at our energy, like Martijn was talking about that energy. And actually, you end up exhausted. So when you are intentional about your time and you are scheduling breaks and taking that lunch, that will have a massive impact. You'll come back to your desk feeling energized for the afternoon as an example, which is going to make you perform more at your peak. And also, you know, it's if you have that environment where you feel psychologically safe to say, I haven't done it yet, or I can't help you yet, I'll be able to help you on this day or this time or this hour, then yeah, you're going to perform better, and it's and importantly more sustainably as well. You're going to be able to keep on up on your A game, but it is important to take those breaks.
Excellent, thank you. What about you, Lizzie? Have you got anything to add?
Well, I totally agree with what has been said so far. I do also agree that it is possible to strike this balance. I think some of it comes down to leadership and making sure that our leaders understand the importance of talking to their team members about well-being as well as how productive they're being. And coaching culture is actually a great tool for that because it actually gives almost a template to enable leaders to have a well-being conversation. Because it's not necessarily easy to think, right, I need to speak to my team member about how they're feeling. Where do you start? So I love that it gives you some prompts. Because if people are not happy, if they're not healthy, mentally and physically, they just can't perform at their best.
Yeah, exactly. Me and Joe were talking about this earlier. We were actually talking about the Wheel of Life, which is a tool that people could use to assess where they are in terms of all the different categories within their life, whether it be business or personal. And from my point of view, so my background is I trained as a workplace wellness coach, so this is kind of a big spot for me. A lot of it is top down. If you see a manager that is working 100 miles an hour and not pausing, you are gonna do the same habits. So it's making sure that, leaders are taking that same approach as team members. And I think we're definitely a culture that will give people things to do, but what we actually won't give them is, okay, I need this by. Can you have it back to me by this day? It's just a do it as fast as you can thing rather than us going back and saying, okay, I can do that, but when do you need it? Because then that gives us the opportunity to prioritize it on our to-do list. And I'm a massive believer of putting everything on your to-do list. Whether you want to go out for a walk, a break at lunchtime, whether you want to take a lunch, whether you want to take a break, whether you want to do, 5 minutes of meditation, put that on that list because that is the thing that we're constantly looking at, whether it's a virtual list or an actual pen and paper list. Put it on there so that you are integrating it into your daily life, and that will help with that balance.
I love a
So
list.
yes.
I typically I have a written one and a digital version, but one of the things I love is the feeling of tick or cross it off. That's really motivating, and you feel a sense of pride that you are actually accomplishing things throughout the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is
Okay,
there,
excellent.
can I add
Martin,
just
yeah.
one more? Yeah, I would like to
Anytime.
add one more thing. Because in my experience, people often mistake high performance with doing a lot. And what we see is there are lots of people working really hard and doing really many things, but it's always important to ask yourself if the things you're actually doing are beneficial to the higher goal. And if they do, those are probably the things that give you energy because you know that you are actually working on something that will benefit the business or that will benefit your team in getting better. And those are the things that give energy. So mostly the repetitive tasks, those are giving you less energy, and that needs to be balanced with those tasks you can actually help the business with.
Exactly.
Great point.
One of the things we talked about in one of the AI sessions this week was what you can hand over to Copilot or to AI tools to do for you. And a lot of people were stuck on what they could hand over. And one of the things that I used to use quite a lot was the What I Actually Do diary. And it is literally just a list of all the tasks that you do, whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, and putting down the reason that you do them. We're very much a culture where we will do things because it's on our to-do list and because it's something that we've always done. So taking a pause and reviewing that once a month and going, okay, I'm doing this because of this and I'm doing this because of this. What you might find is there's some stuff that you don't actually need to do.
Or you can delegate, right?
Yeah, exactly. Excellent. Okay. Second question then. So what is one surprising habit or mindset shift that's helped people get unstuck or to move forward? And Joe, I'm going to come to you first, please.
Okay, I like being put on the spot.
No pressure.
Okay, so in the coaching sessions that I've done previously, one thing that people are often scared to say is no. And so we talk about that and we unpick that and why. And that actually it's okay to say no, but we can rephrase it to a not yet. So it's not about being unhelpful and going, no, I'm never going to help you. It's about being intentional again. I'll keep using that word. So you might rephrase as opposed to saying a bare no, it could be, I'd love to support you. I've got availability next Wednesday at 2. And that small shift helps people then feel more in control and less overwhelmed. So they're in control of their diary, they're in control of their time. That person that's asked for help, we will help them, but it's just about, right, I can't drop everything and do it now. So it's a not yet, but I have got availability next week because I would love to help you. That also opens up space to delegate as well, because as people, we want to do it all, right? And actually, when you're a manager and a leader, you can't do it all. So being okay with trusting your team and going, do you know what? I'm going to delegate something to my team or to my friend co-pilot, can be really powerful.
Excellent. Thank you, Jo. Lizzie?
Yeah, I was struggling with this one, but then I suddenly remembered something from many moons ago when I was in my 20s, still in the UK. We did something called, I took part in something called the Three Peaks Challenge. Have you heard of it? Yeah. So, you know, Martijn and everybody else who's got no idea what it is. Essentially, it's a team challenge where your task is to climb and, of course, descend the three highest peaks in the UK. Being Ben Nevis, Scafell, and
Snowden.
Snowdon. Anyway, so I did that, and Snowdon was the last one this go around. And I just remember being so exhausted. But you don't want to let your team down, right? Because you all have to keep at the same pace. And somebody that, one of my colleagues, was helping me because I was like, I can't do it. I need to go back. And they said, just do a few more steps, chunk it out. Don't think about the peak. Just keep walking and then have a little rest if you need to, and then take a few more steps. And then it didn't seem like this insurmountable task. And I managed to do it. My knees have never been the same, but I just felt that that was really helpful advice.
I love that advice.
It's like then when we talk about goals, isn't it? Setting rather than looking at the big project, look at the little milestones. Yeah, excellent. What was the second thing? You said the two.
That was it.
That was it. Perfect. Brilliant. Thank you for sharing. Martijn?
Have you ever heard of a brain dump?
Yes.
Oh,
That's
sorry,
what.
Martijn. No, we haven't. Tell us what it is.
And what it is in Dutch,
Well,
I want to know.
luckily there are also people listening, right? Not so long ago, I was talking to a colleague who told me, Martijn, there are so many things I have to do. And one of her struggles as well was that she couldn't say no. And her days were getting fuller and fuller, and her own work was actually piling up. And I told her, and she was completely losing what she had to do in one day. So I talked to her and I advised her to do a brain dump, which is when you start at the beginning of your day, write down everything you need to do and how much time it's actually gonna take to do those tasks, and see where you can plan them in your weeks. And that really helped her getting some things aligned in her agenda. So I think that is a good habit to help people who are actually who don't know what to do to keep them back on track again.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I
Brilliant.
do
Thank you.
actually do that. I haven't been referring to it as a brain dump, but that is something that I do pretty much daily. And now, of course, what you could do is you could put that brain dump into Copilot and ask Copilot as your assistant to help you put that into a more coherent to-do list potentially.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I have one notepad that's kind of my brain dump, and then one that is my, okay, today I'm committing to doing this. But for, I think the biggest mindset shift for me was someone once said to me, this was years ago, I think it was some training that I did, was your to-do list will never be empty.
And I think once you accept that, once you accept that, it is a big mindset shift. Because I think we all try and rush through, don't we, to get to the bottom of that list. And I think when we come to the realization of it's okay, there's always going to be stuff to add on to it. When lockdown hit, the company that I used to work for before, we had Slack, which was a little bit like Teams.
Yeah.
And we used to have an accountability group. And every morning we would come on and we'd commit to doing 5 things. It wasn't a let's look at what you're doing. It was a this is what I'm going to focus on. This is what I'm going to commit to. And then at the end of the day, we would go in and tick those things or we'd cross those things. Some days everything would get ticked and some days nothing would get ticked because something else had taken over. But there was one person on the team that would always put about 20 things to do for the day. And after about a week, we all went, OK, you need to rein that in. There's no way that you are going to be able to do all those 20 things. If you put 5 things on that list and you do them, add another 5. But don't set yourself up for failure. And I think as humans, we do that a lot, don't we? We overcommit. We oversay that we're going to do things when actually it should be the opposite. You know, we want to wow people. We want to go the extra mile. So sometimes if, you know, like Joe said, if we can't do something until next week, we say that, but then, okay, maybe we have some time tomorrow. So we contact them and go, okay, I've now got some time. Do you want to go through it? And that has more of an impact than as saying yes and then maybe having to push it further. So,
yeah, it's better to under-promise and over-deliver than the other way around.
That was the sentence I was looking for. Yeah. Thank you, Lizzie.
Also, and we call it stop starting, begin finishing.
Yeah, I like that.
I was going to say as well, with a to-do list, it's really easy on a to-do list to do the easy things.
Yeah.
And then you procrastinate and you don't do the hard things. So we talk a lot about something called eat the frog. Yeah. Which may have a million doing that hardest thing at the time you're most energized. So for me, I'm a morning person. I am at my best in the morning. For others, night owls, they might be better in the afternoon. But doing that thing, that what we say in our old company, that thing that makes you go, gosh, I've got to call that person, I've got that difficult conversation, whatever it may be, but doing it when you're at your best and eating the frog, because it's never as bad as you think it is in your head. That's just your head telling stories. And once you've done it, you're buzzing because you're like, I've done it. And then everything else in that to-do list is a breeze because you've done that hard thing that you keep pushing to the bottom. But getting it done is you're like, yeah, boom, I'm on it now.
Yeah. I think one of the things that affects my productivity is my morning routine. So I'm the house wakes up anytime between 6:30 and 7:00. So in my head, I feel, OK, whatever I want to do in the morning needs to be done before that time. So yeah. I'm the person that gets up at 5:00, goes for a run, goes to the gym so that I'm back in the house by 6:30, ready to be mum and do everything that I need to do. And what I find is that when I come to my desk and I've not done that, I'm less productive because I'm then thinking, well, now I need to get my steps in or I need to work out later or I need to do. It's like always in the back of my mind. Whereas when I've done it, I can come to my desk and go, right, I'm ready to tackle anything. And that really has a major impact on me when I don't do that. Does anybody else have anything similar like that?
It's not like you're not sort of like quitting on yourself almost. Because sometimes if you don't do it, then you get that spiral and then you're berating yourself for not doing the thing that you said you were going to do. Yeah. And if you just get up and do it, you're like, I'm on it.
Yeah. Well, okay. So third question, we're going to talk about daily tasks. So the things that we're kind of doing on a daily basis or a weekly basis versus the big picture stuff. So maybe the projects and things like that. How do you help people connect the dots so that they aren't just busy, but they're actually making an impact? And I know, Martijn, you touched on this a little bit earlier.
Following the lead philosophy again, what's important and how we work it at first is that we have like a daily scrum where we talk about the tasks we've had yesterday and if they were actually all done, and the tasks we have today and tomorrow. So those 3 things. And the meeting should be done in like within 15 minutes. And we also like to check in on how people are feeling during that meeting, because when somebody has an off day, it should be known by your teammates, because they will probably be less productive and someone else needs to take an extra step to get everything done. After that, there is also a weekly scrum. And in that meeting, the project teams, they call it sprints, and they have like different projects underneath a bigger project. And the phases they go through, they discuss those in the weeklies and say, okay, by the end of the week, we want this part of the bigger project done. And then we have monthly, and then we have the all high, then we discuss the high over projects from our year plans. And so it goes down by doing what you need to do every day in the dailies to discuss bigger projects weekly and discuss your yearly projects. And those all need to be connected to one another. And when you do that, you're being productive because everything you do should be beneficial to your high over goals.
Yeah.
And that's what the Lean philosophy actually tells us about this way of working.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing. Lizzie, what about you?
So actually, I'm thinking about my mentor who always gives me this piece of advice in terms of like prioritizing what to focus on, because we have so much, like a lot, right? We've got the reactive and the proactive tasks.
Yeah.
And it's Ryan McMahon. And he always says, prioritize whatever's closest to the money. Now, I know that might sound crazy because I'm not like a fee earner or generating revenue directly. But it does help me when I think about what training or coaching we're delivering with our sales population, with our recruiters. It is about, okay, well, what skills or knowledge do they need to be close to the customer and have an impact on that customer? And sometimes people struggle because, you know, I'll ask them, what value do you bring to your candidates or to your customers? And they'll talk about the basics of, well, you know, I fill jobs, I speak to candidates, I find the right candidate for a job. But if you really drill down into everything that you're truly doing in those relationships to get to your end goal, that's where people start to recognize the true human value that they're bringing. So I think that helps them to connect the day-to-day to the bigger picture.
Love that.
Yeah, definitely. I think about that, and I think about what's the size of the impact that it's going to have as well, which is so kind of similar, isn't it? Well, obviously not money-orientated. So yeah, brilliant example. Thank you. What about you, Jo?
So I'm going to touch on Lizzie's three peaks because I think that's a brilliant metaphor. So for me, when it comes to those daily tasks and big picture goals, it's almost like, right, that the big picture goal is your end goal, but it's almost like walking backwards. So it's ending that three peaks and then going backwards and chunking it down, because the big goal can seem really overwhelming and it can seem unachievable. So it's all about chunking it down. And we've all spoken about it this afternoon, that it's the little steps that we take. And if I think about it practically in the day to day, in, you know, everybody's busy, they've got projects coming left, right and center. I'm quite a big fan of time blocking and using like tech to our advantage. So for example, I'm a big fan of blocking out time in my calendar, because for me, what gets scheduled gets done.
Yeah.
So if I need to block out time, so at the moment I'm doing all my learning, being new to the business, but putting time in my diary to go, right, okay, I'm going to do e-learning then, I'm going to do a shop window then, really helps me, and color coding as well. So if you've got a lot going on, to minimize that overwhelm and confusion, actually color coding your Outlook calendar can be really useful as well. And meeting overwhelm. I've come from an organization, a previous organization, where there was a big meeting culture. And so we used to be quite intentional in, if we saw somebody's calendar stacked up back to back with meetings, we would set a meeting for maybe 10 past the hour, as opposed to bang on the dot, so that people have time for a comfort break. Because otherwise we would be going from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting. And then like, well, when can I actually do the work that we've discussed in the meeting? So I know I've digressed a little bit there, but I think absolutely knowing your end goal, working backwards, what needs to be done, what little baby steps, and celebrating those small wins.
Yeah.
Because again, we might get to the end of the week and think, I'm nowhere near the goal, but actually having that time at the end of the week to reflect and go, hold on a minute, I've done that has definitely moved the needle forward, and celebrating that and being loud and proud about it. And even things that have gone wrong, You know, you learn from those, don't you? So it's like, right, I definitely won't do it that way again because that took up way too much time. I didn't utilize the right tools or whatever it may be.
Yeah, exactly. Brilliant. Thank you. Yeah, I like the Eisenhower matrix. So I like the bot. Is it everybody seen that?
Is that the
Is
action
that the
priority
four
matrix?
quadrants? Yeah, so
Yeah.
the
Yeah, I like
urgent and
that too.
important, not urgent but important, urgent but not important, and then the not urgent and not important. So I
Yeah.
really use that with my tasks, and that's how I kind of prioritize what I'm going to do. And I think that's a brilliant one, especially when it comes to you feeling really overwhelmed with what to do first and where to start. When we start, you know, procrastinating, there is way too much on that list. I'm just not going to do anything. I find that doing that exercise really focuses me on, okay, now I'm going to take action and now I'm going to do it. And I'm a
So,
massive fan of time blocking as well.
sorry,
Yeah,
I feel
Lizzie?
like I'm doing a bit of PR for coaching culture today.
No,
However,
it's okay.
something that I found really useful on there in the mindset modules, there is a procrastination module, which I completed, I want to say 6 months ago. It won't surprise you, I am a procrastinator. So I've got my profile here, and it actually says your responses indicate that you have a tendency to procrastinate. And then it explains the reasons, and then it takes you through some coaching techniques
Oh, I love
to
that.
help you overcome that. Because I really relate to what you're saying, Kerry. If you're overwhelmed, especially, you can almost get like paralysis,
Yeah, because
because
it's
it's like, where to
analysis
start?
paralysis. Yeah.
And one of the biggest tips as well is, and especially when you're procrastinator, is this. Now, I don't normally have this on my desk because if I'm procrastinating, I'll pick this up, and you can guarantee that like 15 minutes later, I'm like, okay, no. So what I always try and do, and I won't do it, I normally do it when I'm talking about this, is throw it away. Take it off your desk, because you can guarantee whatever is around you, it will distract you. So the area that you are working in, your desk, your office, make it as clean cut, as priority focused on tasks and actions and the things that are going to motivate you. I think that really helps with productivity.
Agreed.
We kind of touched on the fourth one there, Lizzie. Thank you for moving us on, which was tech. So coaching culture, great section for you know, using to help you. What other tech or digital platforms do we think we can use for productivity? Obviously, AI is a massive one. And all the coaching culture, all the Copilot tools that we've got, but what else?
I've seen this week, as I've been having a sort of a play around, the Viva Insights, which I was like, this is really cool. It was showing me my meetings that I've got scheduled next week. It was showing me what do you need to do any prep for it. And I was like, I need to explore it more. But I noticed it and I was like, this is really interesting. And I think everybody should take some time to have a look at the Viva Insights because my interpretation and my understanding of it at the moment is that it can help you with your productivity and it can help you go, right, hold on a
Absolutely.
minute, like 6 meetings in 6 hours or 6 meetings in 3 hours, that's a lot. Like, what can I do to change that? Or can I have a juggle around? So that for
And
me,
it
I was like,
also
oh.
recommends, like, block to your point about time blocking. It's like, do you want to schedule focus time? And then it will do that for you. I'm so pleased you mentioned Viva Insights, Joe, because we, all of us actually, I think last month we talked about it. We ran a short session in North America, and then I created a short video, which is on know-how.
Oh, amazing.
And then Yoke had a great idea of also sharing some use cases for people. So check it out on know-how and see what you think. Just a really short, I think it's like a 2.5 minute video.
Well, that's where the theme came from, wasn't it? We started looking at I think it was Sarah Jane mentioned, look at, you know, Microsoft Viva Insights, and that's actually where this theme for this month came from. And the tips and the hints and everything that we're sending out are all, majority of them this month, are to do with Viva Insight and how it can help you. So there's some great resources that everybody's created. So absolutely brilliant. Martin, anything to add?
I cannot go around Strive, of course. I have to mention
Yeah.
it within this question. If you haven't seen Strive yet, please take a look. It's marvelous what it brings to the table. It's something completely new for almost the whole world. And if you take a look and then how many things are actually automated, you'll be stunned. I can say lots more about it, but I won't Just enjoy a demo, please do, because
I'm
you
going to
will be
get a demo
amazed.
next week,
You
Martijn.
will
I'm
be
really
amazed.
excited.
You will be blown away if you compare it to and what the rest of the world actually uses, because that's how big it is, if you ask me.
Excellent. Thank
I'd
you
love
very
to see
much.
that demo.
Yeah, agree. I don't really think I've got anything. Obviously, Copilot, we're still, using it, doing lots of things in it. We've got lots of exciting sessions coming out. So definitely get involved in those SME sessions that are going live. We commence in the 22nd of September, I think they're starting. So, and they are great and they will really help with productivity. We've got some brilliant speakers coming on. Okay, so last question then. What is one story or moment that made you think, or that's given you that, yes, either I'm productive, or this is something that's really helping me to be productive, or some advice that you've given to somebody that's then kind of come back to you and gone, that's really helped me? And I'm going to ask for suggestions. Who wants to go first on that one?
I don't mind going
Go on then,
first.
Joe.
So this is an example from a manager that I coached in my previous organization. But this particular manager was overwhelmed and was doing it all and just felt like she, like the duck where the legs are going, like the clock clappers
Yeah, the swan
underneath the
on the top.
water. Yeah. And so we had a session and I actually read a book called Stolen Focus by Johan Hari, and I'd heard about him through the Diary of a CEO podcast, the Stephen Bartlett, and I'd listened to the podcast, and that's what prompted me to get the book. And there was a piece in the book about multitasking and how, we tend to wear multitasking as a badge of honor. Oh yeah, I can multitask and I can do 10 things at once. And so we were talking about this concept of multitasking, and in the book it actually talks about how, multitasking isn't actually, we can't actually multitask. Our brains aren't designed to multitask. When we multitask and think we're doing a great thing, all we're doing is a something at say 50% of our capacity. And so actually we're better off doing one task at a time. That's where that productivity and that prioritization comes in. And in this particular session, when we spoke about that, and I told this particular manager how every time you're distracted, and that could be a Teams notification, an Outlook ping, your front door going, your colleague asking you a question, anything, it takes up to 20, 23 minutes or so to refocus. So if we've got all our apps open and we're doing 10 things at once, we're constantly in a state of distraction. And she was like, it was like her brain just went, oh my goodness. And so off the back of that session, she went away and she started turning off her Outlook for an hour, for example, so she could do some deep focus work. And she was like, the world didn't end. My team could function without me being on Outlook for an hour. She put herself to do not disturb on Teams, just, not for the whole day, but just for chunks of time, and soon realized that actually my team can do what they need to do. If anything's mega urgent, they'll pick up the phone and call me, like old school style,
Yeah.
And so yeah, that sort of changed the game for her, and she just became a lot more productive through being brave and closing down notifications for a period of time.
Excellent. Great example. Thank you. Martijn, have you got one?
I have. Do you have those days as well where you have back-to-back meetings and at the end of the day you have like no clue what you talked about during the whole day? You need to have some recap and do some administration because of those meetings, send like a dozen of emails, answer a dozen of emails as well. Well, I struggled with that a lot, and I talked to one of the managers here within at first, and she told me, well, I had the same problem. And what I did was I rescheduled my meetings. When there were 60 minutes, she planned them in for 50 minutes.
Yeah.
And when she had half an hour, she planned in 25 minutes. So she had like 5 or 10 minutes left after the meeting to actually have their summaries ready, send the emails because of the meeting she just had. And that was one wonderful tip for me. I started doing it immediately, and it made me so much more productive and faster with, because when you send the emails earlier, you always get the earlier responses as well. So it helps you be more productive. And I really like that. So I could advise that to anyone.
Yeah,
I like that
I love
too.
that.
Yeah, brilliant. Lizzie?
I'm going to give a shout out to our colleague Lucy Scally. When I first joined, I did share with her that, you know, this is an area of development for me, being organized and prioritizing. And she said, oh, every day I have three non-negotiables. That's what she calls them. So it's not too much. It's a bit like what you were saying before with the to-do list. But rather than the overwhelming list, it's like, what three things do I have to do today? And the other things can wait. So I copied that and I have it in my Outlook non-negotiables at the end of every day and I just check it.
I love that.
Most of the time, they have indeed been achieved. They haven't, they have to go to the next day's non-negotiable, but really like that piece of advice that helped me.
That's brilliant. Do
Yeah, I
you
love that.
so my example is, has everybody seen the film Holiday?
With Cameron Diaz.
Yeah. Oh,
Yes.
yes. Yeah, the
Even
rom-com.
I
Yeah.
have.
Yeah. So do you know when Arthur gives her the advice and then she starts crying and says that she's been seeing a therapist for like 20 years and they've never explained it as basic as what he did.
Yeah.
You know that scene? So
Be
that is.
the leading woman of your own life.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Mine was to do with the how I explained stress to a business owner. So as you may know, I worked with business owners before, and it is one of the most stressful jobs that you could possibly, well, not job, but stressful things that you could possibly do, because in a business owner's mind, they are responsible for everything. And I think a lot of us think that as well, don't we? They have to look after the team members, they have to do the accounts, they have to think about people's wellness, they have to think about anything, everything. And just going back to what we said about taking control, I'm a massive believer that when I do my to-do list, I do it the night before. So the last thing I do every day is I block out 10, 15 minutes and I write down my plan for the following day. Now, sometimes that changes when I log on and there's things that I need to prioritize. But what I do is I go, okay, tomorrow this is my plan. And they started to do that. They took 10, 15 minutes at the end of every day going, okay, this is what I need to achieve tomorrow. And that for them was a massive game changer, because when they were coming in, they weren't then going, okay, what do I need to do today? It was a, I'm hitting the ground running. I know exactly what I'm doing. There might be a few tweaks that I need to make in stuff that's come overnight, but I've got that momentum to just crack on and get it done. And same as you, Joe, especially with business owners, and this goes to any leader at all, is taking the time. We're a slave to our inboxes and a slave to Teams. So just put in half an hour aside where you do not look at Teams, you do not look at your inbox. And I'm presuming, Martin, there's a lean, bit into this as well,
Yeah.
is just shutting off and getting done what you need to get done. Is a massive thing, and that completely changed the way that they run their business and how they, not just themselves, but how the team did as well, because the team saw that they were much more focused and energized rather than flapping and going, okay, what am I doing today? The team really picked up on it, which was great. Do you know
Energy
one
again,
piece of
that
advice?
word.
Yeah.
I was given a piece of advice once and it really stuck with me. And it's around emails. And they said, an email is a request for your time. And I was like, oh, like we're so quick to react. We get an email and we go, oh my goodness, I must reply now. But it's a request for your time. And you don't have to reply in the moment, you know, so long as you're replying within, you know, a reasonable amount of time, 24, 48 hours max, I would say. But we're so used to it. Same with like WhatsApps. When I turned the blue ticks off on my WhatsApp, it was so freeing because people don't know when I've read my message,
Yeah.
read their message. Whereas before, when the blue ticks would come up, they know I've read the message and I'm like, oh, I've got to reply now. And when I just turned those blue ticks off, I was like, oh my goodness, I feel so much better. I'd never thought of email like that before. It's a request for your time, but it doesn't mean you've got to react in that moment. Because
Yeah.
what did we all do before emails, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think sometimes people get kind of productivity mistaken for kind of stress as well, don't we? We're not saying that there won't be any stress if you're productive, because there will be. And we all, there's that line, isn't there, that the stress line that we all thrive on, where it's not too much, it's not It's just enough to push us into action. And that is a good place to be. It's when it tips over. And I love using the stress bucket as an example. You know, we all have all of that stuff going in that bucket. And what we have to do is find those taps. What is it that's going to take that relief off, that stress off, that pressure off? Maybe it's going for a walk for 5 minutes. Maybe it's, you know, when I ever do any training sessions and we kind of have a break, I always say, right, just go outside just for 5 minutes, even walk downstairs, walk around the block, get some fresh air. And the difference that it makes is ridiculous, just in your energy and in your, you know, what you're bringing into the room. Instead, what people tend to do is, you know, go back to the laptop and check their emails, and then they're completely out of the room. And it takes them, as we were saying, Joe, it takes them another 20 minutes to get back focused and into the subject that we're talking about.
That's a great idea.
Mm.
I'm going to start suggesting that to people when we do have a break.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I joined a Let's Learn Together call. That's something we do in North America. It's run by a couple of the leaders in Guidant. And they started yesterday's 1 hour session with a mindful moment.
Yeah.
And they always do that. And it's just 5 minutes. And we did a little bit of breathing. And then my colleague who was doing it just asked the question. She was teeing up, like, how are people feeling about change, and asking people to share, even if it was just a, you know, an emoji in the chat. How are you feeling right now? And it was just a really good kind of reflective. It just set the tone so well for the rest of it.
It did. And I know Mel joked about this, but one of the things that I used to do in my previous business was every Wednesday at 9 o'clock, I think it was 10 to 9 UK time before the rush hit, I hosted a 10-minute meditation. And because it was in the middle of the week, it kind of gave you that breath to stop, to pause, to reflect, and to get through the rest of the week for those that were struggling. And for those that weren't, it was just 10 minutes of just breathing and cleansing. And because we forget to breathe. And I know that might sound silly,
but when
you actually take a deep breath, it has I did it once and someone went, I've just gone really dizzy, Kerry. And I'm like, yeah, that's because you've not breathed for the past God knows how many hours. And he went, well, I have.
Properly.
Not properly, you haven't. When was the last time you actually just took a big, deep breath? And it does have such an impact on what we're doing. And that's a really great tip as well in terms of procrastination. 5 deep breaths. Refocus. Okay. Bring you back to focusing on what you need to be doing. Really does help. Okay. Yes. Anybody want to put in any last tips before we sign off this podcast? I think we've got some brilliant stuff.
I think we're going to share some resources as well for people when we do our summary, etc. We could direct them to some of the books, the podcasts, the things that everybody shared.
Absolutely. Martijn, any final words?
No, I haven't. I think we told them already lots of things today. So.
Excellent. Joe, any final words?
No, not from me.
Nope. Lizzie?
No, go forth and be productive, everybody.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's Global P&D Team podcast. We really hope you've enjoyed our conversation. We hope it sparked new ideas, offered a fresh perspective, and reminded you of the power of learning and growing together. Whether you've walked away with new insights or a question to explore, remember, development is a journey, not a destination. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with colleagues, start a conversation, or even take one small action that moves you forward. And if there's a topic that you'd love to explore, or you want to get involved in future episodes, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. So until next time, keep learning, keep leading, and keep showing up with purpose.